May the Lord bless us this morning. We approach the word of the Lord. Think about the word of the Lord is profitable to us. It is intended for many purposes. One of the purposes of the word of the Lord is that it's to inform us, for one thing, of the very saving grace of our Lord. That's predominantly, that's a great commission, that's a great gospel message that we have salvation in Christ Jesus. But beyond that, it's more than that. The Word of God is that we might learn. It's for instruction, for reproof. It's for helping us to understand how to live in this day we live in now. You know, there's many things we might say, well, that's not spoken of in the Scripture. Today's environment, the things we face, there's a lot of things that aren't explicitly spoken of in the Scripture. But principles that we find in the Scripture definitely apply to the decisions that we make with today's environment. Today's, maybe I should say it differently, the things that you and I face today. So we thank the Lord for His Word today. And I want to think today about some of a man called Joseph. I think our children, you probably remember the stories about Joseph in the Bible. He's a prominent name. He's one of those characters that when you look at who he is and what he did and how the Lord used him, we take joy and we look at his case and think, thank the Lord for what was accomplished through Joseph. He started out, though, as a child. Genesis, again, there's a lot of things we learn from Genesis. We learn about the creation. We learn about some of the character of God is revealed in Genesis. And over here in the 37th chapter of Genesis is where we want to start this morning. Again, we're going to take a look at Joseph this morning. And perhaps we can reflect on ourselves and look at that and say, could I be like Joseph? Would I have reacted like Joseph? And we're challenged in our thinking. We should consider that if I'm faced with those set of circumstances, how well do I handle it? Well, I can tell you we can handle it by the grace of the Lord in a way that would be honoring to the Lord. So, but it challenges me, the things that Joseph went through. 37th chapter of Genesis said, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. That's where he was dwelling now. He was living over there in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the land was with the sons of Belial. The lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Didn't think they were acting right. He didn't like what the boys, his brothers, were doing. And it sounds like he went back home and told his daddy and said, What do we generally call that in our tattletale? No way. I don't think children, when one does wrong and they go running to mama, the other goes and running to mama and daddy, said, calls their brother or sister by name and says, they did so and so. And these children don't. None of them kind of like that. A lot of times they carry away from that experience a little bit of a animosity, you know, that they shouldn't have told on me, your tattletale. And quite frankly, we shouldn't probably encourage tattletaling. It's not a really good thing to carry through life. I think it's better to do what's right and just do what's right, even in case, even if others don't, still do what's right. Well, Joseph was the lad here, and he went and told his father. And now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Now again, I want to remind you that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of the Lord and is profitable for our learning. It was recorded here that his father loved Joseph more than the rest. The question should be asked in our mind, is that good? Had a good answer right there. No, it's not good. It's not good. We, when we're raising children, not just raising children, but this extends to our interaction with people in life. When we favor somebody, just because I want to favor them and I just want to exclude others, you know what the feelings that arise? You take a child. Sister Bennett, I believe I've heard you use this description about children before. You can spoil it. It's a spoiled child. What do we think of when we talk about a spoiled child? Generally in our mind, we consider that child as someone that hasn't been well trained, has a let go, let do whatever they want to, and now they are acting in such a way that the rest of us look on and say, they're a spoiled child. They're acting out, their ways aren't being restricted, they just show their little selfish ways and their tantrums, and that's a spoiled child. I suspect probably all of us recognize that. None of us look kindly on that. So when we observe it and recognize it, here it is in the Scripture, an account a long time ago. Is that a path for success? When we allow a child just to have its own way, is that a path for success? Check. How about spoiled? That's being spoiled. That's not a path for success. Generally, if that child becomes successful, they have to go through a process where they bump their heads against the school of hard knocks. We hear about that. They have to be confronted, and at some point, and in Joseph's case, thank the Lord, he was able to humble his heart and begin to seek the Lord. But a lot of times, dear ones, when we set our children up in this place, it's not good for them. They have extra things to deal with, harder to deal with. So Joseph, again, this is for our learning. When we observe this in the Scripture, we can look at it and say, you know, I don't think that was good for Abraham to do this with Joseph. And I will tell you, I don't think it was either. I agree. Israel loved Joseph more. That's never good in a family to show favorites. He loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Well, that's an excuse, but not a good excuse. Just because it was your last child. Son of his old age, or almost his last child. And he was son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. It doesn't say, it implies, it seems like, that he treated him favorably more than others. He gave him special things that he didn't give the others. Made him a coat of many colors. Fourth verse, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably in Him. Is that right? Is that a good reaction? Again, Scripture, these accounts in the Scripture are here for our assessment, for our learning, for our instruction. But it's understandable, isn't it, that the others didn't like their younger brother because he was favored, he was special, and he got away with more. He just, everything was favored, and they felt disrespected. It's a normal human feeling. But is it a right position for us to take? Is it good for us if we are treated unkindly and less than? Is it right? Is it good for us to carry away from that experience a sense that they don't like me? And so therefore, I'm just going to carry hatred away. You know who you hurt? You know who you hurt most in that situation? It's not them, the other people that you're hating. It's you. You carried away something, seeds that was very destructive for these young men. They hated their brother. It put them in a situation that was very difficult later on. So, Joseph was favored kind of, perhaps innocently, a player in this situation. He was treated in a way that he grew feeling like he was favored, feel like he was special, and not hardly even noticing that he was. But he had this idea planted in his mind that I'm more loved. I'm special in this family. And it caused him likely to act in ways that wasn't good. Joseph dreamed a dream. Fifth verse. And he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Remember what his dream was? We were out harvesting the grain. We were gathering up bundles of grain, and my sheave, my bundle of grain, we were all out there working together, and I got my little bundle over here, and I ended up being in the middle of all of you. And my bundle stood up, was noticed, and the rest of you stood around me. And your sheaves bowed to my sheave. Well, you can say, well, the Lord gave him that dream. And you know what? It was a prophetic dream. It was true. It was wrong for him to take that and say it to his brothers. It wasn't good. It wasn't wrong for him to start receiving some understanding of that, but it was wrong for him to use it in this way, or at least unwise. It was unwise. Well, how do you think his brothers would react to that? They didn't react to it very kindly at all. They felt they hated him the more for it. Then he had another dream. You remember that? The next dream that he shared. Again, it was a prophetic dream. It was something that would come about in this future. But he was too young to really even understand it. And the dream was that not only his brothers would bow down to him, but his father would too. He went and told the dream to his father. Well, his father didn't think it was a good dream. He didn't think it at all. He thought this. His father felt like, no, that's not the way to think right now. His father didn't appreciate that. So it came, and I'm going to just kind of move more quickly through here. It's in the chapter. Joseph will sit down to his brothers, take supplies, perhaps down there, to go down to the brothers to see, to find they were taking care of the sheep. And he went down there, and the brothers saw him coming. Now, these brothers had all been from different mothers. There was a few here and a few there, and they were kind of segmented, and they, some of them were kind of unified in this respect, that they all didn't like Joseph because he was so special and favored of the father. So 10 brothers were out here. Well, perhaps 9 brothers, I think. Joseph would have been the 10th. No, 10. Joseph would have been the 11th. Benjamin would have been the 12th. Benjamin was younger. So his brothers were out here, and he was coming with perhaps the innocence of a younger person, and coming and looking at his brothers and happy to find them, and they saw him coming and recognized him quite a ways off, not by facial features, but perhaps by the coat of many colors. And it struck. It plucked the cords of their jealousy in their heart. Folks, I don't care what kind of reason we may carry from whatever experiences of life is. And I want us to be careful here. Think about this. We can say in our mind, I have reason to feel jealous or carry hatred or carry something away from an experience. But folks, it's never good to do that. It's never good to let a root of bitterness start growing in your heart. It's never good. I don't care how, what, quote, righteous reason that we may conjure up that would tell me that it's right for me to feel this way. It wasn't right for Abraham to treat Joseph special. It wasn't right for Joseph to openly tell them that your sheaves bowed. I don't think that was a good thing. But it wasn't also right for them to carry bitterness or jealousy or hatred. All of that was wrong. All of this is something that you and I deal with in life. In our human interactions, in a congregation, I'm grateful for the saving grace of our Lord. I'm grateful for what He does when He sets a sinner free. I'm grateful for His saving, for the power and the blood. But you and I, even though we are saved and walking in life, we will face places that we are confronted with opportunities to pick up a little root of bitterness. And God in His mercy and His love wants to prepare us for that day, here today. The Lord would caution us, it doesn't bear good fruit. Children, you're going to have to learn this in your interaction with your family, with your brother and sister. I've been there and I know what it's like. My brother and I loved each other, but there were times that we were at loggerheads. We didn't always agree. That's life, isn't it? In those moments, the Lord would like to use those moments to teach us of His grace. We have opportunities, every one of us do. And sometimes we have reasons brought to us. I have good reason. Remember Job when he was angry. Remember the Lord had given Job a message to go preach to Nineveh. And as he went through the city preaching it, he was telling them, proclaiming them to them that the Lord's about to destroy this. Was it 40 days? I forget the time frame. But it wasn't long. That the Lord, you've got a short amount of time when the Lord is going to come and destroy this city of Nineveh. I don't care how great you are or how mean you've been in the past. I don't care how this is a bloody city. It's known as a bloody city, very fierce city. I don't care how you've been in the past. The Lord's going to take care of it. The Lord's going to bring judgment down on this city. That was the message that he said, 40 days, the Lord's going to destroy this place. And you know the story, the reason Jonah didn't really even want to go deliver that message. You know how all that the Lord went through to bring him to that point. But he did. He went and delivered the message. Then it sounds like that he set off over on a hill beside the city and with almost eager anticipation, they're going to get it. That's not a good attitude, is it? Not a good attitude. Now, when it didn't happen, 40 days, the time frame expiring, and he was sitting over there brooding, Job was brooding over in his little place. The Lord had caused a gourd to grow up and give him some shadow, some shade. But the Lord came and talked with him about his attitude. He said, is it right? Jonah, is it right for you? Do you well to be angry? And his response was, yes, I do well to be angry. I would ask you in the conscious, simple knowledge that all of us have, the common grace that the Lord has given us, the ability to see and assess things rightly. Today, you think that's good to talk back with God like that and say, yes, I have the right to be like this? It doesn't make sense, does it? It's not good. Is it good to carry bitterness and anger? I have heard today, we can come up with excuses and say, but I have been treated so badly, I have a right. And this is simply the language of an oppressed person. That may be so, but it's a language that needs to be sacrificed back to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to carry your language, not mine. Do you hear what I'm saying? We can carry and have reason to carry bitterness, and perhaps we might think just reason. But folks, if we carry that root of bitterness, we're going to have the defilement of the bitterness. And the Lord would ask us today to bring all of that to the Lord and put it on the altar. Because if we carry that with us, it'll be damaging to our eternal soul. Joseph had these situations that he came to, and then he came to his brothers, and his brothers were angry with him, and they perhaps had different, varying degrees of how deep their animosity ran. Some of them were angry; they sure were. They didn't like it. But some of them had matured enough, it sounds like, to have their anger tempered a little bit. They were willing to go along with everybody's anger, so they took Joseph and they stripped him and threw him down in the pit and to let him die. I think, and it has been surmised, and I can't prove it for sure, but it seems as though the older brothers wanted likely to perhaps go back and get him back out of that pit, perhaps to save his life. Though they were still angry with him, they didn't like, yet wanted to preserve his life. And then, as the time came, well, maybe the one that was wanting to preserve his life was off somewhere, there came by a band of Midianites. They were traders. It was a caravan. As a little side note here, do you know where the Midianites came from? Do you know their heritage? All right. Let's go back a little bit. Abraham had Isaac, and he had Ishmael. Are those the only sons he had? Shake your head, no. He had more sons. Afterwards, you remember? Come on, we got to think through the scripture here. Remember what we've read. They had more sons. One of them was Medan, father of the Midianites. So these were cousins, distant cousins, but yet of the lineage of Abraham, the Midianites. Likely, the way I read the scripture, likely the Midianites were also of the lineage of Abraham, different mother. But this band came through, and the brother said, look, we don't really like the idea of just killing our brother, but we can sell him. Perhaps not thinking very far into the future. Maybe they were willing not to put their own hands and kill their brother, but they would let somebody else kill him. Sell him into slavery. And that's what they did. pulled him back out of the of that pit and sold him to the caravan of Midianite traders. And Joseph, again, some of it's conjecture, but it's likely that could be something that's almost worse than death, to send somebody into that type of a slavery. But Joseph went there. The Lord still had his hand on Joseph. The Midianites then sold him. We find this now over in the 39th chapter of Genesis. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. So he was brought down and sold. The Midianites sold him to the Egyptians. So he was sold to Potiphar. Now, Joseph had a decision to make. He was no longer spoiled. At least nobody cared about his tantrums. At least nobody cared about his cries or how special he felt. Nobody cared about it now. He was stripped of all that. He was now a slave. And at the mercy of those who could like him or hate him, and could treat him however they wished. And this was his state. Joseph had a decision now. I know this is probably over dramatizing. Am I going to lay down on my back and kick my legs and squall as a spoiled child? Is that my reaction? Or am I going to look to my Lord and ask him for wisdom how to handle life? Because right now it's not working. Let you in on a little secret. Joseph later on looked back and said, he said, "You all meant it for evil, but God had a different design in this." He came to the place when the dreams were truly fulfilled, when the dreams truly did come to fruition, and he had the authority and the power to execute judgment and lop off the heads of his brothers. He told him, "No, the Lord in his mercy worked this out. And I love you." It's a tremendous picture, and it challenges me. But along the road of Joseph's experience here, there's a number of places that challenged me. And this is one of them. He was sold, and he was now a slave, and he could have reacted very poorly. And I don't know all his actions. All I can tell you, the results that we find in the Scripture. He conducted himself in Potiphar's house in such a kind and wise manner. I don't think that was just a natural wisdom. I believe he began to ask God, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me to know how to act. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Help me with life. Help me to live in such a way that at least my master will see you." I don't know. I'm putting those words perhaps in his mouth, but somewhere I believe Joseph humbled his heart before the Lord. And he received some of the wisdom that came from above. And he began to act on that. And he began to be diligent. The boy that perhaps used to be a dreamy young man, that had all these ideas and let his brothers do the work. And he just came up with the ideas and dreams and was favored and was special. Now he realized he was different. He began to have to grow up. He began to have to deal with life and deal with God. And I believe he began to seek the Lord. And he came now and learned how to be diligent. Learned how to put his hand to what was here. Folks, again, all Scripture is given for our instruction. There are places in the Scripture that talks about us being diligent. In our life, period, not just the work of the Lord, but in our life, our whole life is supposed to be an expression of godliness and His character. God's not a lazy person. He's not a person, He's a God. But He's not lazy. He is diligent. When He looks at our lives, He's not an absentee father. He's caring. He sees us. If in the Scripture Jesus told us that not a hair of your head will fall without the Father noticing, we should recognize He's a very attentive Father. He notices who we are and our downsettings and our uprisings. He knows the things that we're thinking. He knows why we're thinking what we're thinking. He knows the things that we're allowing to grow within our heart. And being the attentive, wise Father that He is, He'll correct His children. And David learned to enjoy that correction when he said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's not a rod of beating, but that's a rod of correction. That's a rod of guidance. As a good shepherd did, the rods that they used back then was a staff or that they used to reach out and extend their reach of kindness to help their sheep go the right direction. That's what they used. Sometimes a walking stick, it's an aid. David recognized the Lord's working in his life and said, "Thy rod and thy staff, I find great comfort in your guidance, your help in my life, your direction. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the place of my enemies, in the presence of mine enemies." Well, we're not going over that chapter right now. But Joseph was dealing with a different mode of life than what he knew not many days before. And now he had to learn to be diligent, be responsible, as we all do too. That's why we teach our children. We start young to try to teach our children to have a job and carry it through. Why? Because we want them, when they meet God and walk with the Lord, we want them to know how to meet responsibility and carry it through. It's important. Part of the reason why we train. Part of the reason why we don't let people get by with just walking away from a responsibility. What happens on your job whenever the boss gives you a job to do and you go, "I don't want to. I think I'm going away. I just go on home." You're liable to stay home. The boss isn't going to say, "Come on back." God wants you and I to treat our walk with Him with diligence and carefulness. If we learn that we can get by with laziness or uncaring, or feel like that I'm special and I'll get by with anything, we may carry that before the Lord and may in my walk with the Lord, and I may get a wrong perception. God's interested in you and I hearing it. Though He is a very tolerant, very loving, very kind God, and His mercy does endure forever, He still expects us to obey Him. Amen. He expects us to hear His word and respond and follow and carry it through. So Joseph was learning some things from the Lord in a harsh environment. But you notice how sometimes when we find ourselves in an unforgiving, an environment that doesn't really, doesn't look kindly on me and who I am, have you noticed that if you still have the Spirit of Christ in you, if the Lord is His character is developing in your heart and being shown out, have you ever noticed that that has effect on those folks around us? Hopefully I said that clear enough that we can understand. Your character and who you are, who you carry, if you carry and portray Christ in your life, it will a lot of times modify at least those who don't like us. They start thinking, "Well, they're not so bad." It's hard to hate somebody that treats you kindly. It is. It's just hard to continue that if we look back with loving kindness. And I believe that likely happened with Joseph. And Potiphar, he began to recognize the diligence of this young man, the faithfulness of this young man, the type of care that he had. I believe that he approached his job as unto the Lord. I don't think he carried animosity toward Potiphar at all. I think he did his job as much kindness, as much faithfulness as, unto the Lord as he knew how to. And Potiphar looked at that and said, is he doing such a good job? I'm just going to let him have the whole checkbook. He can take care of it. He's done a better job than I am. And I just feel I'm blessed to have him as my slave. And he gave him so many rights, so many. And Potiphar went off with his life. And you know what happened in the middle time? In the meantime, you know the story. Joseph was grown into a nice young man and was noticed by the wife of Potiphar. You know the story. How Joseph was challenged. His very moral compass was challenged on a very deep and personal level. Joseph. And he said, I can't do this. I won't do this. I can't do this great sin against my master or my Lord. I can't do this. And he was willing to risk his life. Think of this, for he was willing to put his life at risk to do what was right. Tomorrow didn't mean anything if he carried sin in his life. He didn't want to do that. No, I can't do that. I won't do this. And he didn't. Potiphar came back. Joseph was challenged. Joseph was called up. He was accused before Potiphar by Potiphar's wife. Had the very coat as almost anecdotal proof. See here? I think that probably the consistency of Joseph's life from what Potiphar had seen to this point, I believe Potiphar says, this doesn't sound quite right. But because of his situation, I think, think about this. Potiphar, and any man in his situation that would have thought that his wife was attacked with his authority, likely would have said, Joseph, you're dead, and would have had a right to do so. But Potiphar didn't do it. Folks, the character that the Lord creates in our lives is very valuable. Protect it. Joseph's character, I believe, spoke still to Potiphar, even in the false accusation. I believe Potiphar discerned that there's something here that's not adding up. And Potiphar was sent to prison. Not Potiphar. Joseph. Please understand what I'm meaning instead of what I say sometimes. Joseph was sent to prison. Seemed like a pretty dark hole. Innocent man, treated in such a harsh way, sent him to prison. He goes there. Again, the account is here in Genesis. I'm not reading it. Joseph was sent to prison, and he had another decision. I'm not saying he probably didn't fight or was confronted with some feelings that this is so unjust. And he could have said, that woman, she lied against me. And he may well have had those thoughts come through his mind. But somewhere along the process of life, he committed it to the Lord. To the point that he still acted in a godly manner in the midst of his affliction. This challenges me, dear ones. I'm telling you, this was before Jesus Christ. And we honor the grace that came through Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. Seems like more authority, more power we have through this new dispensation in Jesus Christ. But this is what the Lord helped Joseph do before Christ. And it challenges me today to think, oh Lord, help me. When I am ill-treated, lied about, return not evil. Don't do it. And that's a decision that Joseph had. A decision you and I have too. We may be lied about, ill-treated. At that time, we have a decision. Am I going to get bitter and let the devil in, or am I going to humble my heart and let the Lord in? I believe Joseph humbled his heart and said, Lord, help me. And he conducted himself again so wisely that a foreigner, a Hebrew slave that had been brought into the prison was given the whole keys to the prison. Think about that. Joseph had lived so wisely, so truly, so kindly, so honorably, so caring for his fellow prisoners. He was so honest that the prison guard, the warden of the prison, as we'd say today, the warden said, you know what? If I left your cell door open, you wouldn't run away anyway. So here, just have the keys. And Joseph had a way about him, a true love for his fellow man, that when he walked by their cells, perhaps give them their food, whatever he had to do. And I think sometimes the morose feelings that people would feel when you're incarcerated like that, perhaps some of them would have shared their feelings or their heart, and Joseph listened. And I could almost hear in my mind now, likely Joseph said, friend, can we bow down and pray? I imagine that's the kind of man Joseph had become. I don't know all the answers to your life, but I'm living for a Lord that hears and answers prayer. Let's go before Him. Let's give this to the Lord. And it was reported that the whole prison had never been run so smoothly. All of them. The different attitudes. Folks, our attitudes are infectious. We can carry away bitterness, and that little root of bitterness will defile many, not just us. It will spread out to others. Or we can carry Christ. Oh, yes, we can. God has made it so. The door has been opened in our hearts. We can open, and Christ will come in and sup with us. The Father and His Son will sup with us, make their abode within us, and we can carry that to the world around us. All with all that He represents, His kindness, His love, His staunchness against sin, His kind staunchness against sin. He doesn't display it carnally or meanly, but he will tell somebody that you're wrong when they're wrong for their goodness, not in a vindictive way, but in a kind way to pull them, to draw them by those cords of love to a place of salvation. And so Joseph was faced with these things, and he went in there and he conducted himself. Perhaps he felt like, my life has been so turned upside down. Could have felt that way, but maybe in the process of time he began to realize, the Lord's really blessing me here in prison. The Lord's blessing me. I have such a peace in my soul. This is better than being thought of highly by my father. That before was causing things that was not good in me. But this, my heavenly Father, has come and He's training me. His rod and His staff has brought a stability, a comfort, a direction in my life. It is so true. And he was content in the place that the Lord had put him. And then there came a man, a couple men that had fallen out of favor with Pharaoh, right-hand men. One was a baker, the other one was a butler, personal. They knew him well. And came in there and they had dreams. The Lord gave them dreams that just pervaded their minds. And the next morning, they were troubled with it. They knew. They both had dreams. They shared them. What do these things mean? They knew there was some special impact to their dreams. And Joseph comes by and said, what's your face looks different this morning. Are you okay? Oh, we had these dreams. And Joseph, being in touch with the author of the men's dreams, the Lord gave him the interpretation, and he began to share it with them. To one was a very good outcome. The other wasn't so good. And likely the other wasn't good. I like to think that probably they were in there because maybe there was found out that there was some poison or something going on, and one of them was guilty, the other wasn't. And the Lord was making choice between the one that was guilty and the one that wasn't. One reaped the reward of his ways, and the other one was restored. And Joseph said, when you go back and serve your king, could you tell him about my case? I'll do it. I sure will. First thing tomorrow, I'm going to tell him, you've been good to me. And he went back there and started back on his job and straightway forgot. And Joseph had another decision. Am I going to let bitterness drive my life? Perhaps an anxiousness. He kept listening for the knock on the door. Are they going to come? Not once. Years went by. Time's getting by. Better hurry up my story. Again, I want to focus on what the Lord has done through Joseph. What the Lord has... And I would ask us to be challenged and cry out and say, Lord, help me to allow you to work in my life in such a way that the graces that Joseph displayed would also be displayed in me. That I wouldn't allow the abrasiveness of life to corrupt my spirit. I want to serve you, Lord. Joseph, the Lord gave a dream. Years went by again. Joseph still in prison. Could have been bitter, but he wouldn't. He wouldn't let that happen. There came a point when the Lord gave Pharaoh another dream. It troubled him. This dream was pervasive to his mind and knew there had to be a meaning. And about this time, was it the cupbearer? I believe the cupbearer was the one that got his job back, wasn't it? I believe. Cupbearer said, I remember. He said, there was a fella when I was in jail. He knows what dreams mean, especially these kind of dreams. This kind of dream is from the Lord. He serves that God. And he said, but he's in prison. And now Pharaoh had a decision. Am I going to go get a fellow out of prison to come tell me my dream? It was strong enough that the Pharaoh was willing to humble himself and say, yes, I think I need that man. They came and brought him over there, and Joseph told him. The Lord gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream. You know what it is about the years of famine and the years of plenty. And so the Lord is preparing this time. The dream was from God. And Joseph gave the interpretation. And he said, King, because this is determined of God, God is intended for it. It's going to happen. It's a sure thing. It's going to happen. I'd encourage you to look out. Somebody that's full of wisdom, has these abilities to gather a certain amount of grain every year in the 7 years of plenty and create places to store this grain and have it for the years of that all the plenty will be eaten up. There's going to be some thin times coming. And the Pharaoh was wise enough to say, I don't know anybody wiser than you. Why was he able to say that? I believe Joseph displayed in front of this king, the slave, the Hebrew slave, displayed in front of the Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. Such a spirit of godliness, of righteousness, such a spirit that portrayed the true wisdom that came down from heaven in such a manner that the Pharaoh said, "You're the man. It's your job now." And in short order, the Lord took Joseph out of the school that the Lord had put him through, that he had passed and graduated the test. He got there. The Lord, Joseph now was not one that would be elevated in carnality. He didn't give over to all those things. Joseph had gotten victory over those things, and the Lord brought him now to second in command over all of Egypt. That was his position. Now's the time. I've got the authority now. I can be perhaps like Moses felt like he could be. And from this position, I can get authority and I can deliver my people, or I can do it carnally. Joseph still refused to use his position to be carnal, to exercise carnal retribution. He wouldn't do it. He had the authority. He wouldn't do it. He had mercy, didn't he? Isn't this the way the Lord is? Isn't that also what the Lord told... who's the one that went to preach at Nineveh? Jonah. Thank you. Jonah. And what the Lord tell Jonah? He said, they've repented. I'm not going to do that. And Jonah said, I knew he was that kind of a God. Well, good. God is indeed merciful. Thank God for that, because if he wasn't, none of us would be sitting here today. None of us could say, none of us could lift up our eyes with assurance and call him Abba Father if he wasn't merciful. So, again, Joseph was merciful like his father was, his heavenly father. And the time came when the famine was deep, had intensified throughout the land. And here came 10 brothers. There were 10 that put him in prison, that got him in this position. 10 brothers that had hated him. And here they came, carrying their sacks and saying, "Can we buy? Because we're starving over here." And you know the story. Tremendous, isn't it? Joseph recognized him. He said, "Give him. Put the gold back in." No, they come back. Remember the cup. "You're thieves." And they came back and he said, "Do you have another brother?" "Yes." "Yeah." "Bring him." "No. My father, is he still alive?" "Yes." Joseph was waiting for that one. "My daddy's still alive." They said, but daddy lost his son a long time ago, and he's grieved for those years, and he's, if he would lose this one, he wouldn't make it. And we're not going to let that happen." One of them said, "Take me instead." You remember, I'm shortening the story. You can read it. It's a fantastic story. Came to the point that the Benjamin, you remember the one that he had, and he put the cup in that sack. And he said, "Only the one that has stolen this, that's the only one that's going to come back." And remember when they found it in Benjamin's sack, I could almost hear the brothers say, "No." And they said, "No, y'all, I'm going home. He's the only one." He said, "No, we're coming back." And one of the brothers pled and said, "Let him go home. Let me stay. You can take me." They had a change of heart too. There were some schooling they had went through. And aren't you glad that the Lord schools us if we're willing to let Him. Aren't you glad that the Lord, He's not an absentee Father. He wants to work with every one of us. He sees us and He cares for us. And Joseph now was in this situation. I'm sorry, I haven't read a whole lot of Scripture. It's here. Would you read it for yourself? It's a wonderful story. Here came now the brothers back and pled before Joseph. And Joseph said, fix him a big old meal. I wonder what conflicting ideas the brothers must have felt. And he said, give Benjamin, that one over there, give him to it double everybody else. I don't know what they must have thought, but I believe that none of them felt jealous. At least they didn't display it. And there came a point then where Joseph revealed. He said, told all his servants, go away. Go away. And he said, I'm your brother. Told it to his, to these band of Hebrews that had come in. Said, I'm your brother. Oh, what must have went through their mind. That one we sold into slavery is now, and our sheaves have bowed down. It meant something better to him now than what it did back then. The Lord had worked on all of them, hadn't He? Oh, Lord, help us all to allow the Lord to work in our lives. We're not perfectly molded yet today. I think it's part of what Paul was saying. I haven't arrived. I haven't. How was it that he said it in the Scripture? I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget those things that are behind. I put that back there and I learn from that, okay? But I set my face to the higher. I press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Lord wants to do with every one of us today. Some of us may look in the mirror and feel like we're quite a ways down the road. If you feel that way, maybe not so far, because the Lord wants us to have a sense of humility and need before our Lord. We're all sheep of His pasture this morning. The Lord wants to take us as raw material and begin to shape us and mold us and bring us to a place that we can stand before the Lord in victory, that we don't have to be a slave to our old master. Folks, the Lord saves us from that old sinful master. We don't have to be that slave again. The Lord brings us up out of that place and sets our feet on a higher plane, establishes our going. He puts new songs, new thinking. If any man is in Christ today, we are new creatures. Old things are passed away. There is definitely a time where the Lord comes and saves and forgives, where He brings us His Holy Spirit and sanctifies. There's all that is so, but beyond that, as we walk with the Lord, there's still a perfecting of the saints. And that's what the Lord's wanting to do with every one of us today. And we have opportunities, we have times that we are confronted with the choice. Am I going to let bitterness rule here? Am I not? Am I willing to allow the Lord to change me? Sometimes I've looked back at my life and realized, to my embarrassment perhaps, that there have been times I felt like I was a little bit like that block of granite that took quite a bit of swinging of the hammer to chisel off things that the Lord wanted to remove. But I encourage us all today to be as dear children. That if there's a place that the Lord shows and puts His finger on our life, and we're faced with an opportunity, whether all my carnality says, I want to get even, recognize it for what it is. It's poison. It's something the devil is trying to place in our path. Because the result of that will never be good. We can lay down on our back and kick our legs and cry and throw a tantrum, and it won't produce the fruit of righteousness. Won't do it. But yet the call of our Lord is still from Calvary. It looks down at people who had spit in His face, had hung Him on the cross, and had rejected Him and felt almost like they were gloating over their victory. And He said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand. Lord, help us to have in our heart the same type of love, the same type of long-suffering. Lord, help us, because we need His grace to be able to get there. But to be like our Lord and to treat our fellow man, again, like the Lord would have us to treat. Jesus said, and He pulled this commandment from the Torah, the old law. He pulled it out and He said, this is the greatest. This is one of the greatest. One is to love the Lord all with everything, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And He said, the second is likened to it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. That is very important, that we allow the love of God to constrain us. Who was it said that in one of Paul's writings? The love of God constrains us. The Lord, the love of God guides and fashions us. So may we today, with humbled hearts, say, Lord, continue your work in my life. I want to serve you and pray for me.